The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We are going to have Jude on today, Jude LaCava, and we'll talk about everything around the Cardinals and what happened with ASU and the Diamondbacks' absolute choke job. And all of that straight ahead on today's show. I am battling it somewhat today. It is that time of year in September. I was in the White Mountains this weekend. It was beautiful. But I came back down off the mountain, and my nose just decided to blow up. And so I'm fine with allergies. You guys don't need, I don't need sympathy. Just want you to know if I don't sound quite right today. But we will press on, just like the Cardinals did yesterday. With the first pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals, I'm sitting there yesterday watching the first half in Sholo at the Pine Top Country Club. I'm sorry, over at Torreon. I was at Torreon yesterday. I'll get my places right. So Torreon, we just finished playing. I sat down there 10 minutes before the game started. We've got the DVR rolling back here, so I'm able to watch this stuff inside and out. Same thing with ASU. And that first half was just god-awful. I mean, there's no other way to put it. I knew that this was going to be a struggle. I felt like six wins was doable. Obviously, I was wrong. I was wrong. Vegas was right. This is just an absolute bleep show. There's no other way to put it. It's the worst looking football team I've seen coming out of the gates from a Cardinal team since probably Denny Green's first year, maybe even some back at the stadium back in the day when they played at ASU. I mean, there's nothing interesting about this team at all. So we're going to talk more about that here in a minute. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And you need to do it with life insurance on this Monday as we get the week off and running again. Guys, it's September. The holidays are going to be here. And when that happens, you're not going to be focusing as much as you should on your personal situation. Right now is the time. Are you in that space? Are you protected? Are the people around you protected if something were to happen? All you have to do is log on to SagicorNow.com. SagicorNow.com. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Get your free quote. We appreciate Sagicor. So in all seriousness, here on the Cardinals, how do you fix this? The big raging debate of any show today is going to be whether or not to play Josh Rosen or not. That will be the big raging debate. And most people should side on the, well, let's just play him. It cannot get any worse. Well, I don't know about you, but I saw Josh Allen yesterday for Buffalo. And Josh Allen yesterday for Buffalo was just god-awful too, G-A-W-D, by the way. Just awful. Just dreadful. And so when you put these guys out on the field and you think that that is automatically going to turn things around, that they're suddenly going to become competitive, it's one thing to be competitive. It's another to be interesting. The Cardinals aren't even interesting. It's Sam Bradford, and he's overshooting guys to the right and to the left. It's kind of like Zach Greinke pitching at this stage of his career. Zach goes out there, and some nights he's really good, and other nights he's not. But the bottom line is he's getting $33 million. And Sam Bradford's getting 30-plus. And I'm expecting a lot more than what I've seen so far out of Sam Bradford. But he's not even interesting to watch. He's not. Sports is entertain and information. Information, entertainment. At the end of the day, you've got your 3 hours. You want to know what's going on, but you also want to be entertained. There was nothing. Like, Eric took on the task yesterday. We split up the Cardinals and ASU and who goes to what and who writes about what. And Eric took the short stick, I think, because you had to write about that stuff yesterday.
Yeah, but thankfully I was over at my friend's house with the laptop watching the game and watching like four others. I didn't have to go down to the stadium and watch it live and in person. So it wasn't bad. Don't feel so bad for me. I was in a recliner and just
so are the Cardinals, it looked like.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, Brad, the stats can be misleading. Not when you have three first downs in the third quarter. There's nothing really misleading about that. So.
Well, but here's where I'm at on this. So I get that Steve Wilks is going to come in here and change up. I'm more looking at the defense. Okay, Josh Rosen can be on the field all day long. Yeah, they need to score points. The Rams just beat them over the head defensively again.
And the Rams kicker was hurt, and they just went for two every time, and most of the time they got it. I mean, they like the Rams were just toying with the Cardinals yesterday. It was like a JV versus varsity game.
And that game ended like in 2.5 hours.
It did. It did.
It was like running clock.
But it's pretty simple. I mean, the Rams pretty much did whatever they want. The Cardinals couldn't move the ball. And, you know, going into the week, my buddies and I were talking about how, like, it's pretty odd to see a double-digit line in the NFL. But we all thought, yeah, I don't think the Cardinals are going to keep it within 12. And you could tell by the second quarter that not only was it going to be a blowout, but the Cardinals might get shut out. And they did end up getting shut out because they were just so inept offensively.
Okay, so let's go through this a little bit deeper, Eric. And I'll talk to Jude about this, too. But I'm sitting here. Hassan Reddick doesn't play much yesterday right. until the fourth quarter. And Deion Buchanan doesn't play because they've changed up their scheme. That's two first-round picks. Okay. DJ Humphreys in their first series jumps offside in a crucial situation.
Yep.
It's another first-round pick. Robert Kimdiche has done a little bit of something. But I would say if we weren't so desperate in our business to find any angle to hang a hat on.
He's been good.
That it would just be like, you know, it's about time as a first round pick.
He hasn't been exceptional.
No.
But he's been good. But when you talk about, like, I think this was Kimdiche's best game as a pro. And it's two games into his third season. That's not good. That's not what you want to hear.
So there you have four guys, first round picks. They're really doing nothing. If we're going to get right down to it right now, okay? Fitz is hurt. So far, Larry's looked like 15-year veteran, Larry Fitzgerald. Just calling as I see it.
David Johnson's been pedestrian.
Pedestrian. So
not sure if that's David Johnson's fault or if the line's not blocking or if the cards are not
Mike
putting,
McCoy,
not
yeah,
putting
sure.
him in a position to be successful. But, I mean, he has, what, 100 yards rushing total in two games, maybe a little bit under that?
I was impressed driving back yesterday, listening to Pash and Ron do the game, because you could just hear in Dave's voice how disgusted he was with what was going on the field. Like, here's another play, and here goes for another, you know, and here, and the Cardinals have to punt. And his tone was, this is just unacceptable.
Yeah, and speaking of punts, the Cardinals gave up a bunch of long punt returns. I mean, special teams was nothing special. So
right, and so
it's a team effort. I mean, they're bad pretty much through 2 weeks. They're bad defensively. They can't score points. Special teams hasn't been good.
So when I make fun of them as saying the first pick overall in the draft, the only other team that has looked as bad as they have looked to me is Buffalo. Okay. The Raiders are sitting here at 0-2. Could the conspiracy theorists be out there that the Raiders get the number one overall pick and move into their new stadium in Las Vegas? Yeah, I guess you could buy that in sports, sure. But I guess from my point of view, you can change the quarterback all you want, and it may end up hurting him in the long term more than helping him. Fans want to see these quarterbacks go out on the field and they all get their heads beat in or they missed on them. I'll just give you the Cleveland Browns as an example. You know, how many quarterbacks did they run through or have they run through? And you're sitting here saying there's nothing that's getting better on any of these fronts. And Sam Bradford had 90 yards yesterday passing. That's the fewest for him in his career in a game that he started and finished. If you bring in Josh Rosen yesterday, is the outcome going to be any different? No, they might have 7 points. Well, we have to get him ready for the future. Not necessarily. Guys get the game kicked out of them, hit out of them, and they're done. They're finished. It would be one thing if David Johnson were averaging around 80 to 90 yards a game, which to me is pretty reasonable through two games, but he's not. Okay? So the idea of turning around and handing off the football and not putting all the pressure on Josh Rosen. There were times yesterday where you just saw the Rams were going to blitz, and it was over. Sam Bradford had no shot. So as much as many of you want to see the quarterback change, it doesn't mean the results are going to be any better, A. B, it may end up hurting him in the long run. Josh Rosen has had a history of concussions. It was all brought up on draft night. Well, let's throw him out there, and Larry Fitzgerald may not play. Where he's got a hamstring, he's not even close to being at 100%. Who else is showing anything? I mean anything at the wide receiver spot. Nobody is. I watched John Brown the other night for Baltimore. He was pretty good. Yeah, he had a couple drops. That's John Brown that we had here. But it's not like, you know, I'm not going to ask Christian Kirk to be a lead receiver because he's not. He just isn't. And some of this falls at the feet of Steve Keim. Some of this falls at the feet of Michael Bidwell. People don't want to hear that down the street over there off of Hardy in Tempe. But look, you can change coaches out. But if you're given a roster that you've missed on, not just once, not just twice, and misses happen. I got that. You just turned around and handed a huge contract to a running back. And so far through two games, he hasn't shown me much. He hasn't been given the ball much, but hasn't shown much. It's really disappointing to see that everybody's just reaching for the Change Josh Rosen story and everything suddenly is fixed, because it's much deeper than that. This is going to be, I didn't think this was going to be that bad. I looked around the roster and said, there's five Pro Bowl guys on this roster. Well, guess what? Chandler Jones hasn't shown much so far. Patrick Peterson is doing the best that he can do. Larry Fitzgerald looks like he's in his 15th year in the NFL. David Johnson isn't touching the football much. So I don't know what to tell you. There's guys in the secondary that look like they're not NFL ready. Or they make silly mistakes. And if you think that was bad, wait till you hear my story about ASU. And it wasn't just on the field, it was off of it. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. So I want to get over on the college football front because it was a great weekend. Ohio State TCU was the game, I thought, of the day. I'm in the White Mountains. I went over to Sunrise Ski Resort. They were doing some BMX down road, down this hill, down 10,000 feet. So we took the chairlift up, my wife and I, and just hung out. It was cool. It literally was cool. It was like in the low 60s. It was fun. I had some people, I posted some video, and they're like, you're riding mountain bikes? No. At 6 feet eight, mountain bikes down a hill, full speed on Sunrise, that's not happening. That's a bad situation. I'm not here. There's a tombstone here if that were to be the case. But it was very nice. Just take the chairlift up and enjoy ourselves. We had a great weekend doing all sorts of things. And in the back of my mind, it's okay. I have to find a place to watch the ASU San Diego State game. Even though I have DVR going here, I'm always on. And I'm like, you know what? I need to watch the game. So the people that we're staying with, my wife's sister and brother-in-law, they have this nice RV. But the spot they're in is blocked by trees. So we get no signal for DirecTV. So we're kind of in a tough spot here. It's about an hour and a half before game time. Not a problem. I'm going to pull out my phone and I'm going to pull up CBSSports.com sports app. And it'll be great. We'll just mirror it. We'll stream it because they have a smart TV. Not a problem. This is technology. It's 2018. Well, by the time we got through trying to get through CBS, and I'm not that technically challenged. I'm pretty good at this stuff. And so's my brother-in-law. By the time we got through this, and we had some adult libations going, I'll be full disclosure, because I was getting frustrated. So I figured the best way to figure this out, because every screen I would go to would say, you have to download this and you have to download that. And even though I rip on the Pac-12 network, at least with the Pac-12 network, you just push watch and it happens. And I kind of like that, where I just push watch and it happens. So at 7:30, I'm on my phone and I'm looking at my screen and it's doing the updated play-by-play. I'm not seeing anything. It's just the Wilkins carry, Wilkins this. My brother-in-law finally gets the game on his phone. So I'm good. But they feel bad because they're like, well, you need to watch this game on a big screen. And we want to be hospitable. And I'm saying, well, the adult libations are kind of helping. Give me a little bit more and I'll really enjoy this game. So we finally get the game on. I don't know what CBS Sports Net's deal is, why it should be that difficult. And I get it. The game's at San Diego. They're the conference TV provider for the Mountain West. So I'm going to put up with Carter Blackburn and Aaron Taylor making it sound like these are the greatest players in the history of mankind. It gets to the point where Herm decides to not kick the field goal, a play that everybody's talking about. And I'm sitting there looking at the TV saying, you just kick the points, man. You have a kicker who's pretty good. Just kick the points, move on. Easy in hindsight to say. Herm said afterwards, I do the same play all over again. Of course he's going to say that because he doesn't want guys like us sitting here second guessing. And that was the right move. The game, the halftime took forever. And by the third quarter, I'm like, you know what? This game's on DVR. I can follow it tomorrow morning. I'm out. So I'm out. 11:30, the whole campground erupts. So now I'm awake, and they erupted because of how the ending came down. The Darby catch, targeting, everything. I watched the game back last night when I got back. Watched the play. The ball hits the ground, okay? The targeting call was the right call. It's just a bad rule. So ASU loses the game. Of course, after the game is over, Frank Darby is going to plead his case. Of course he is. He's a competitor. The good news about Frank Darby is they have a replacement at least for a night when Nikhil leaves for the NFL and is a first-round pick next year. Maybe number one overall by the Arizona Cardinals with the first pick in the draft. I don't know. But you look at this play, the ball to me, hit the ground. A very, very, very little bit of ground, but it did hit the ground. What did you think when you were watching?
I think he caught it.
Do you disagree with me? Don't see any grass at all.
I don't disagree with you, but I think he was cradling. He had his arm under the ball. He had possession of the ball. And by rule, if you have possession of the ball can touch the ground if you possess the ball. If you possess the ball.
What is a catch? What isn't a catch?
What? Yeah. That's
where we are.
Yeah, but that's and to me, Brad, the only thing I was thinking about watching this Saturday is you shouldn't be in this position in the first place. No. You're playing San Diego State. It's a Mountain West team with their backup quarterback. You're coming off a huge win. You want national respect. You know how you get national respect? You beat Michigan State, and then you go kick San Diego State's ass in San Diego. Now we're right back to where we were with ASU. I mean, it was very like all the air from last Saturday. Oh, and guess what? You get to go to Seattle and play UW on Saturday in a night game. Good luck with that. Let me know how that goes.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing. That's why college football is so great. Is that
Saturday was great.
You can go from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows. And you mentioned Carter Blackburn. I love the fact that he was so lost on what was happening at the end of the game. He said, San Diego State takes over possession, and all they have to do is run out the clock. No, it was a personal foul. It was a 15-yard penalty. It's first and 10. Yeah. And you could tell there was like 7 or 8 seconds of silence, and the truck is like, no, that's not right.
Screaming
in ASU still has possession.
Yeah.
Like, what are you watching? You don't know that? That's pretty simplistic.
It's
a targeting penalty. It's 15 yards. ASU has one play left. And he kept saying over and over, San Diego State can just take a knee, and I'm watching. I'm just like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
It's an automatic first down.
Yeah. He
catch or no catch. It doesn't matter.
That was a rough deal. That
and Aaron
was a rough
Taylor
broadcast.
Was like trying to kind of like smooth it over on the color analyst, saying, "Yeah, I know that can be confusing. There's a lot going on." And just, oh my gosh!
My takeaway, and even though I was out because I dropped into some places, the fact that LSU is where they are is, I think, the best story of the year in college football. Because that Ogeron, he just sounds like a football coach. He sounds like a grizzly bear who's hungover football coach. And LSU beats Auburn, which was great. And, you know, the other story is the Pac-12 South is not good again. All you guys that want to keep saying, well, you know, ASU, they got to stay in the Pac-12. And I'm sitting over here saying, no, the Big 12 is far better this year. Kansas won a freaking game. They never win. They don't do anything. Pac-12 South's not good. USC got handled. There's no other way to put that. It was a bad night, bad day and night all the way around for the Pac-12 South again. And, you know, for ASU, Manny Wilkins, somebody sent me a note saying, you've never really been big on Manny Wilkins. No, I just think anytime you're sitting there with cheerleading, you're not being realistic. And you know, I get it. If you work for ASU, you're going to defend guys all day long. That's what you get paid to do. Manny Wilkins, if I'm going to be fair, is now ranked 9th in the nation in passing efficiency. He's top 10 quarterback. Who would have thought that, right? Manny Wilkins saying that San Diego State defensive backs were garbage, quote, garbage. I don't need to see that out of a quarterback. And I'm wondering if Herm's going to be asked that today of, did you talk to Manny about that? Guys, I don't care if that's your team or not. You don't say that. You don't lead with that. You could be frustrated all you want. You don't call the opposition garbage. Not if that's just not right. And the other thing is Jalen Harvey showed up on the tape a lot. Now, is that a bad thing? Is it this, that Arizona State's front seven didn't do much? Or is it the fact that Jalen Harvey, they moved him in position and it's turned out to be, you know, he and Chase Lucas back there are a lot better off than seeing guys running 20 yards wide open under the previous regime, which they did. It wasn't a great team that they lost to the other night, but it is a team that wins every year about 10 games over the last 3 years. Every year we went through this last week. But if you sit there and say, all right, they shouldn't have lost and all is not well, you're right on one front. Arizona State can't run the football. Eno Benjamin is a nice little back, but they cannot run through three games. And you're going to Washington. You got to be able to run the football. The people that want to come after me on her. Well, you said it was great and they should apologize. Well, where are they at now? It's one game. It's one game either way. It's a national win against Michigan State. It's a national win. They didn't play well the other night. They end up losing. To Eric's point earlier, are they looking ahead? Was it a trap game? All that stuff. You're talking about 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds. There's going to be weeks where they don't show up unless your name is Alabama and you're playing nobody, which, again, Alabama did this last weekend. So anybody who's going to tell me Alabama is the best team in the country, until there's a commissioner of college football that says, you're not playing slop every week. You know, now you have Texas A&M this week. Let's see. I'm very much looking forward to Alabama and Texas A&M. From what I've seen so far, Ohio State's pretty good. I'm sure, Eric, you watched the Ohio State TCU game, had to rip your heart out, not to bring it up, but is Ohio State that good?
Sure. Oh, yeah, they're very good. They're a playoff team.
Clemson's a playoff team.
Yeah, it's going to be the usual suspects, I think, in the playoffs. I think you're looking at Bama, Clemson, Ohio State. You know, it's going to be the guys that are usually in.
And then pick one more, and yeah, then that's right. And it's not going to be one from this conference, from the Pac-12.
No, and I don't see LSU continuing to play at the level they're playing at, because they never do.
It's a great story, though.
It is. And, I mean, take two top 10 wins in the first
month. How about USC
of the
getting worked by Texas?
It's hard when you have a quarterback that's starting at USC that should be a senior in high school. It's tough. I mean, that's...
But it wasn't just him.
Yeah,
they
had a field goal blocked in return for a touchdown, and it was
that coach is in trouble.
And like you said, Brad, the Pac-12 South is, I mean,
it's not good.
It's not good at all.
It's just not. And so while they lose to San Diego State, that's not a conference game.
And a team that beat them pretty handily at Sun Devil Stadium last year, another reason why you would think they'd be up for this game. But continue.
Well, but if you go through the next couple of weeks, they have Washington and Oregon State.
It's a loss. That's a win.
So, but those are two games within the Pac-12 that do factor in indirectly.
Sure.
So you've got time to figure this thing out. It's just, so far, Isaiah Floyd has not shown me much of anything, the junior college transfer running back.
He was great against UTSA. And then hasn't been used much or hasn't been very effective the last 2 weeks.
Okay, and so when people get excited about how Manny is running with the football, Manny cannot be running with the football. They carried the ball 24 times for 36 yards. Yard and a half per carry. This Saturday at Washington, if they do that, they're going to get smoked. They're going to get smoked. Jude LaCava's next. We're going to go through everything going on in the Valley. Stay with us. All right, let's turn our attention now to all things going on in Arizona sports. Always nice to have Jude LaCava drop in, Fox 10 sports director. Right off the top, give me two or three things you would immediately do if you're Steve Wilks to try to get this thing turned around with the Cardinals.
Well, right off the top, I'll tell you, you cannot have David Johnson with just 14 touches. I mean, that to me is glaring. I mean, this is one of the better backs in football, Brad. And he had one catch for 3 yards. One catch for 3 yards and 14 carries for under 50 yards. That can't happen. You know, you've got to look at creative ways. That's on Mike McCoy. Mm-hmm. Creative ways to try to get him the football. And I'd like to see 25 to 30 touches per game in a variety of different ways, whether he's in the slot, toss plays. That's the first and foremost. I think the other thing is, you have to look at some more experience at the wide receiving core. The Butler experiment and Little experiment did not work. Larry Fitzgerald needs some help. I mean, Christian Kirk is going to be a very good player given a year or two, but they need help. And they also need a playmaking tight end. Now, Gresham should return by the Bears game, and Marcus Golden will return. But fundamentally, there's some real issues with this team. And just based on some of the tweets from emotional fans last night, you know, it looks like a return to the 90s. He's got his work cut out. The offensive line does not look anything like that run-blocking line that we saw in preseason. That's long gone. I've not seen a Mike Iupati sighting as far as him pulling and getting downfield. And they were bowled over, granted, by an outstanding defensive line for the Rams. So those are some of the issues that come top of mind.
What about Josh Rosen putting him in? Where are you at on that one? I am of the opinion that, you can make the argument, Jude, of Josh Allen came in and Patrick Mahomes last year came in. Patrick Mahomes got a start late in the season. It wasn't like, here, go do 15, 13 games. I'm not 100% just put Josh back there and everything's going to work out, because to your point, who's he going to throw the ball to? If Fitz isn't at 100%, there's nobody there.
Can't do it. It would just destroy any kind of confidence. I mean, this is a systemic problem with a team that has some personnel issues.
Yes.
And flipping the switch on Rosen. Now, granted, Sam Bradford has missed some throws. We don't see that accuracy we saw in preseason. But that is not going to help in any way, shape, or form. These are personnel issues. And all you have to look at is how opposing teams have possessed the football, time of possession, winning the war in the trenches. That's something that Josh Rosen cannot solve. So, no, you better stick with the veteran as long as he can stay on the field. And change up personnel. You know, it's funny. We've talked for years, Brad, about the cornerback opposite Patrick Peterson.
Yep.
And we saw it again yesterday against the Rams. I mean, not to bang on Jamar Taylor, but he was exposed on double moves. And it's a glaring issue that's been there for 3 or 4 years since Gerard Powers left that Steve Keim has yet to really fulfill, and that's really disappointing.
Okay, so we both personally, I think I can speak for you on this, we both personally like Steve Keim, right?
I do.
Yeah, and I do as well. Okay, but let's just go through the list. Deion Buchanan is not out on the field. Hassan Reddick has done nothing so far this season. Kimdiche is showing some stuff, but I think we're grasping for straws trying to find anything because he's been so bad. He's finally doing something. DJ Humphries jumps offside, key port in yesterday's first drive. Do you mention Jamar Taylor? It's two games of him, and he's not even close to being out there. They can't find a wide receiver. So I'm looking at all this and saying at some point, Steve has to be the one. And sure, he'll sit in front of all of us, but this leads to Michael looking at Steve. And you know Michael like I do. Michael's going to be the guy that walks in and tells Coach, hey, it's time to put the rookie back there. That's how it works with the Cardinals, Jude. So let's just look at Keim. Am I overreacting to all the misses that Steve has had recently?
No, not at all. I mean, this is on Steve's lap, and it's been miss after miss. I mean,
yeah.
Evan Bain, you know, fairly highly drafted.
Brandon Williams.
I mean, opportunities to really fill voids, whether it be a cornerback along the offensive line. And listen, this offense, let's also look at some of the free agent signings. They've been okay, but when you're shelling out big money, you expect a lot more. I mean, Mike Iupati, they paid a ton of money for Mike. You know, he had a good preseason, but where is he now? I want to see more from Justin Pugh. The right tackle position is still a bit of an issue. Andre Smith not on the field. I thought the rookie Mason Cole played fairly well, but you're right. No, this is a personnel issue. And I think Steve Wilks is a pretty solid coach, by the way, and I think he's been handled a very, very difficult situation. Maybe now fans will look back to the past 5 years and see the winningest coach in Cardinals history, Bruce Arians, and have a little deeper respect on not just B.A., but Carson Palmer and the type of coaching staff that allowed this team to be very respectable and also have a 13-win season. So that's a reflection there that I think needs a little emphasis, too.
We're talking with Jude LaCava, Fox 10 sports director. And, of course, the NFL on Fox starts Thursday nights. You've got Thursday Night Football going next week, is it? I watched the NFL Network
next weekend.
Following
week, correct.
Yeah.
Yep. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. So let's dial back here. One last question on Rosen. Byron Leftwich is sitting there as a quarterback coach. You have Steve Wilkes, a defensive guy. You have the owner who wants that flash and dance. That's been Michael's MO. Do you think that there's any way that Michael walks down the hall and says, make a change, A? B, do you think after two games, Michael's the type of guy that would start to meddle? Because that's been happening. That's happened in the past over there.
Well, it's a great question, and we know Mike's history, whether it be the drafting of Matt Leinart and the marketing and everything else that goes with it that happened years ago, to where does this team, where's the tipping point, I think is the bigger question. Mm-hmm. They've got the Bears coming in. That's no easy task with that Bears defense and Khalil Mack. So the question will be, how desperate will they get if they continue to lose football games? And is that tipping point week number five, week number six, to say, well, we got to give the fans something, so let's see if we can put Josh out there to at least stir some hope? That could very well happen. I don't think it's going to happen just yet. I think Wilkes will hold the fort down, but it could be three or four games away.
Let's bounce over to the baseball team, because I've had some people that have asked, if they completely fall apart, which they have done here in September, could Torey Lovello be in jeopardy? Because Ken Kendrick is someone who likes to step in and make moves as well. I think that would be an overreaction, although I could see Ken doing that against Mike Hazen's wishes. What do you make out of where the baseball team is, and have they tuned out the skipper?
No, I don't think they have. I mean, you can't go from manager of the year just a short year ago, less than a year ago, to a guy that you bail on. No way. This is a classic example of a clubhouse chemistry that's gone awry. And what I mean by that is there's a couple of players that are approaching free agency that I think are playing not to get hurt, that are not necessarily looking at the immediate goal. And I know this is quite an indictment to say this, but this is my hunch. There's some guys that are thinking more about the business of baseball than they are about winning the National League West Division. Now, granted, the bullpen has been overused. We all know that.
Yep.
They've been run into the ground. And you can say that's a farm system and that's a lack of depth issue. But I'd have to say that, look, they, to me, were overachieving. They've had these slumps back in May. Unfortunately, they're having one at the worst possible time in September. I don't like the clubhouse chemistry. I really don't. As good as Goldie is, he's not a verbal guy. He's just going to do his talking with the bat. I don't see the defensive emphasis by this team that we saw last year. I don't see this team aggressively running the bases as well as they did last year. So they're missing some of the things that were the winning formula that got them in the postseason last year that are absent this year. And I think the pressure of expectation also has kicked in, especially in this month of September. But no way, shape, or form. Torey has been maybe too easy on this team, too supportive. And I know he's tricked his shots in demanding more from this team at times. When he was in Cincinnati, I think he really went after this team, saying, look, we can't lose a couple to the Reds and expect to stay in this race. But no, this isn't. This is more of a Mike Hazen issue, in my opinion. Alex Avila, that did not work out. Steven Souza has been a disappointment. So you have to look at some of the moves that they made in the offseason that, quite frankly, have not worked.
And you're talking about A.J. Pollock, too, if you're talking about guy free agent that's looking ahead, right?
I mean, yes, exactly.
And Patrick Corbin, I think that's a different conversation, his free agency, than what we're talking about with a position player. Because I'm not expecting either one of those players to return, just me.
I would agree.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate the time. I'll see you down the road. Thanks.
Hey, by the way, I got to say something.
Yeah.
Rocky Long really set up ASU. This was the teacher against the pupil. I thought Danny Gonzalez called a horrible game, and they did not run blitz against the San Diego State Aztecs, and that was a really impressive win by Rocky Long. And I know that means a little something to you because you spent a lot of time in San Diego.
Yep,
very impressive win for Coach Long and the Aztecs.
They saw bad unis, though. Looked like a swap meet in Santee or a swap meet in Apache Junction made those. So. See you. Take care.
You got it, Brett.
There's Jude LaCava with us, Fox 10. Their sports director. Yeah, they have the NFL on Fox on Thursday nights next week. I actually watched the Bengals and Ravens the other night. It was very entertaining. It was a good game, and there was Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. They sounded good. So I'm going to get to a few other things before I wrap up today's show. On the other side, big news for U of A, and it had nothing to do with football. We'll get into that and much more as we stick around for about another 10 minutes. Stay with us. All right, before we get out of here, this will be a week where there are a couple of local players, one in college football, who played here in the Valley, and one who is still in high school on the basketball court. Those two players' names are Nico Mannion, who's at Pinnacle High School, and Byron Murphy, who is at Washington. Both those players are going to be in the news cycle heavily this week here in the Valley, and for the right reasons. Nico Mannion announced late Friday, and I've seen him play once in person, a lot on tape, and talked to a lot of people. Very, very talented. He's one of those guys you need to go watch play this next year. He's reclassified, meaning he's going to get out of high school early. He'll play at Pinnacle, and then he'll go to the University of Arizona. He announced on Friday afternoon he is going to U of A. This is significant on many, many fronts. If we remember everything that went down with U of A basketball and players that were hyped up, that were supposed to be all this and all that, that came in, and I could go through the list of them, and they didn't work out. They transferred out. U of A gets bounced early from the tournament or doesn't make it nearly as far as they should each and every year. Guys that are pronounced as the second comings and they're not, so their shortcomings come up. Then what happened here in the end of last season with the alleged scandal within the U of A basketball program, their assistant coach, Book Richardson, last September getting blown out. All that has led up to U of A is a program that reportedly, supposedly was in a state of shambles. Well, not so fast. They slowed themselves down, got out of the media circle, went underground and decided to roll up their sleeves and get back at it. For them to land Nico Mannion, a player that had everybody, and I mean everybody in the country after him, says that, you know what, we're fine. We are just fine in attracting star talent. Doesn't mean that Shaq's kid, just because he walked away from him, it's a hit, but that's just how Sean has operated down there. It's kind of a Teflon mentality in my view. So they land Nico Mannion, which was terrific for him. I'm going to like to see him coming up to Tempe for 1 year, 2 years, however short it's going to be, whenever he decides to go on to the NBA, because that's what they do when they go to U of A. It's a stopover. You're there for, I don't know, 12 months, maybe 24 if you're lucky, but you know, you're going to do it, and then you're going to move on to the NBA. And sometimes, I've heard this story said, the pitch is, come to Tucson, get yourself ready to go to the NBA, and you'll never go back to Tucson. I'm not taking a shot at Tucson. I don't care. I've heard the same stuff about Tempe. But for Nico Mannion to go to U of A was huge news. Byron Murphy, this was kind of the poster child on my side of the street of, okay, I'm kind of getting done with Todd Graham. People have asked, why are you so hard on Todd Graham? I don't think I'm very hard on Todd Graham. I'm merely pointing out how he didn't recruit quarterbacks that are all going on to play well elsewhere. I'm merely pointing out that there's been more hits or more misses than hits. I'm merely pointing out the word among NFL people is they do not have an NFL caliber roster top to bottom. You want to have 20, 25 NFL guys that are coming through the pipeline. I had a scout tell me they might have nine. Might. So a kid like Byron Murphy who goes to Saguaro High School, who goes to Washington. This week, Arizona State plays against Washington. Byron Murphy against N'Keal Harry. You're going to see it this week. Byron Murphy, they list him at 5'10", 185. On Saturday's win over Utah, Byron Murphy posted four pass defended, helped limit Utah quarterback Tyler Huntley to 138 yards. Redshirt sophomore, five tackles, showed his value as a physical run defender. So pass defended is one of those areas that you can look at and say, that translate over to being NFL ready. This is a kid that was at Saguaro. Todd Graham never had a shot at him. There's going to be players that don't want to stay in Arizona. I get that. What I like about what Herm Edwards is doing, and Eric wrote about this on his own read this last week, which is, it's good stuff. Every Thursday, Eric has a bunch of high school notes. Is you look at Todd Graham's recruits here in the Valley, and it was usually from the football factories. And yeah, he hit on N'Keal Harry and Chase Lucas over at Chandler. How, you're not going to miss on that one, right? Herm's going after guys at Millennium and at Tolleson, and those are not known as football factories for sure. But he's looking at guys that we may look at in 4 years and say, what a mistake that was. I don't believe that's going to be the case. Jason Jewell, our chief recruiting analyst, believes that these are all very good players, that they've gone out, beaten the bushes, and have brought them in their classes here. So a guy like Byron Murphy, who you're going to hear a lot about this week, and on the game on Saturday night, just another disappointment, another one that got away. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. Eric Sorensen, as always, produces. I'm Brad Sussmat. Enjoy your day.